Hi, everybody. Just a quick note. If you're a listener to the Nerds Domain podcast, you'll need to go back into iTunes or your other podcatching device and resubscribe after May 8th. We'll be switching podcasting hosts, and our new host will require us to resubmit our RSS feed, which messes up some things in iTunes. We'll still be putting out podcasts. Everything's going great, but I just want to make sure that all of our listeners are getting our new content from our new RSS feed. Thank you very much. You'll hear us real soon.
You better button your brain, you're in the Nerds Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerds Domain podcast. This week, it's just me and Shirley.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about Furious Seven. It's an immediate movie review.
Dun, dun, dun!
So, this will be the last immediate movie review that is about a movie in the draft that doesn't have a draft update. Because this is the first movie in the draft. We can't give an update on the draft that just started. We think it did well.
Yes.
There's our update. So, the rest of the summer, you're going to get immediate movie reviews and draft summer movie draft updates. I would guess we're going to shoot for some good stuff this summer. Maybe Avengers next month, and then we'll
maybe.
See. Then we'll see what exactly we can record in May, June, July, and August.
So this is the first movie draft, the first movie in the summer movie draft, right?
That's what I just said that.
And this is Scott's.
Is it Scott's?
I don't
remember. We're on top of this. Furious 7.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the story? With minimal spoilers.
Here's a story about a man named Dom. No. I wish I had more time to be a little more creative. I totally would have put it to the Beverly Hillbillies.
This is Johnny's movie.
John got this movie?
Yeah, Johnny paid $41 for this movie.
F.
All right, so tell us about the story.
Okay, the story is about this intrepid group of friends that have been through everything. And in the last movie, they went after and killed somebody. And now that person's brother is after them.
They didn't kill him. They crippled him. It says that in the movie. You see him in the hospital.
You see him in the hospital, but I thought he died.
Nope, he was just crippled. Jason Statham says, you crippled my brother.
Oh, crippled. I thought he said killed.
Nope. Dude isn't even dead.
Dude.
So.
So he's got some love for his brother.
He's got some mad rage. How about that?
Yeah, he's got some issues. Anyway, you're reintroduced to the mostly original Fast and the Furious cast. The Rock comes along,
and he's then, in the last movie too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. No,
he comes along from the last movie.
Sorry, that was a question and sort of a statement for me.
Yeah, we get introduced to, and forgive me, I don't know the actors' names, but we get introduced to a really cool beat 'em up guy and the hacker.
Which really cool beat 'em up guy?
The guy that was jumping all over the stuff.
The parkour fighter.
Yes, the okay. Parkour fighter. And, yeah.
The hacker,
and then
Michael Douglas.
Not Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Kurt Douglas.
Kurt Russell.
They kind of look the same.
Kinda. They're both older gentlemen. We could go with that. And, the chick that beats the crap out of Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, I expected her to have a Russian accent.
She does look like she would have a Russian accent.
If she had had a thick Russian accent, yeah, I would have been so excited.
You'd be like, yeah.
So I have a couple of confessions to make.
You hated this movie?
No. Hate is a very strong word. Hate is reserved for
you
things like...
You have apathy for this movie?
Hate is reserved for things like I, Frankenstein, and and Dillinger is Dead.
Well, but hold on, you're lumping I, Frankenstein in with Dillinger is Dead?
Well, if Dillinger is Dead is a zero, I, Frankenstein is a one, so it makes it a better movie. There were things to enjoy about I, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So,
So, my confessions. I've seen Fast and the Furious. Fast and Furious. I saw the first movie.
Okay.
I think I've seen parts of the second movie. I know I've seen the beginning where they race around in the cars.
That is all of them.
No.
I mean, it's a better description.
Where it's the four cars, and one of them's this Asian girl, and then there are three other cars. And, like, that's the whole beginning of the movie is them racing. Like, it starts with that race.
Okay.
So, yeah. There's that one. I'm aware of three, but I thought it looked dumb.
And that's Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, because I think drifting is dumb. I also have a problem with movies that...
Gotta get a taste for it.
It was Fast and Furious, and then Fast and Furious 2, and then Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I have a problem with movies that are like, oh, we're not going to number this one. Ta-da! Like, that's dumb. Yeah. Just name it. Just number it and move on. And then
they couldn't number it three.
I understand
because
that.
Hold on, that's not the order.
They could have, but if you're going to number two, you have to number three. That's my argument.
Okay.
So, note that it's Indiana Jones and the...
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom, Ark of the Covenant, Temple of Doom. Ark of the Covenant. And no, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade. None of those have numbers, and they're out of order.
Oh.
It's actually Doom, Ark, and then Last Crusade.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So, I also have not seen 4, 5, or 6. I have no idea what's going on at all. I was confused by the whole, here's the Dominican Republic, and I was like, what? What? Why? But let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I will say this. If you have not seen the previous movies, this one, there are parts of this one that are hard to follow. But the turnaround is, and don't take this the wrong way.
No, go ahead.
This is not the deepest of stories.
Oh, no.
I mean, there are some personal moments, and there's some interpersonal play that you need to know the old stories for. But the script allows for enough to give you enough to get you to pick up on it. You see enough flashbacks or hints at things.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing that happened between Dom and Letty in the Dominican Republic, that's not in any of the movies. This is the first time you ever hear about it.
No. I mean, but the fact that they went to the Dominican, like, hey, we have friends in the Dominican Republic. Well, that's a surprise. Yeah. I didn't know. Like, who has friends in the Dominican Republic? Who has friends that can hire that many guards just laying around in the Dominican Republic, you know? So there's the first thing is there are some story issues. And I do mean issues. And I don't mean that.
I have a story issue that I really want to talk about.
I'm not trying to trash the movie. This is not a bad movie. No. This is a good movie. I would say it's better than mediocre.
I think for a person that's into gaming and likes board games and doesn't really get into the sports car scene or mini trucking scene or anything like that, like, how did you feel about the movie?
So there's the first part is, if you haven't seen the first six movies, and I would say five of the six movies, because Tokyo Drift is out of order and it doesn't really apply, sort of. Yeah. It does, but doesn't.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen those, this one's going to be a little hard to follow. However, the flip side to that is if you like cars or fast cars or vroom vroom or anything like that, explosions, senseless gunfights, because there were...
Yes, there were. And I'm a little upset at some of them, especially...
Hold on. I'm going to finish my point. This might be an okay movie. Much like Bad Boys, I honestly don't know much about Miami or its drug scene.
Yeah.
But Bad Boys was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Boys 2, again, know nothing about Miami and its drug scene. Bad Boys 2 was fun.
Yeah.
And the actors brought that out. I didn't see... There were some weak parts from Kurt Russell. There were some weak acting from Kurt Russell. And there were some questionable things they did with his character that I went, really? But the rest of what they did was... For the character work was good. Mm-hmm. There were some things where I went, nah, I don't think it would work that way.
Right.
Actually, there were several parts where I went...
Yeah.
Like...
go ahead.
So, like, shut off your mind a little bit. Prepare for some suspension of disbelief.
Yes, definitely.
Expect that every one of the main characters can survive any kind of car crash. I hate to say that, but...
No, I understand that. Like, the last one...
That's fine. That one was very intense.
Yeah.
And there was more lead up. But there's a point, and we're going to go into some spoilers here. Statham and Vin Diesel drive into each other. Now, these are both cars. Again, I don't know much about cars, but these are both cars that are going to 0 to 60 in 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So by the time they hit, they're going maybe 40 miles an hour each.
I would say easily more than that.
Well, let's just say 40.
Yeah.
So 40 going one way and 40 going the other way.
That's
means
80 miles an hour.
You're hitting with the impact of 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Neither one of them is wearing a visible seatbelt.
Right.
And they...
Well, okay. No, if air... I understand that, but if you watch Dom, every time they focus on him, he is always doing his five-point harness.
No, not in that car.
Okay.
I specifically looked at that. There's no seatbelt. Yeah. There's no airbag.
Right.
Which,
well, the thing is, you see a reflection of an airbag when they do the side shot, but you know it's not there.
Well, that might have been a safety thing.
Yeah.
They immediately get out of the car and get ready to beat the crap out of each other.
I thought they were going to lay there for a minute.
Here's the thing. For our listeners at home, I know enough about first aid to know in a horrible car crash, mm-hmm. unless the car is going to explode, you do not move the body. Ever.
Yeah.
Because you could hurt the people more.
Mm-hmm.
These guys get out of their cars, stand up, and then prepare to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
That is not plausible.
That's your suspension of disbelief.
Also, when it's been less than 2 weeks since you broke ribs and your arm.
Yeah.
You do not break out of your own cast. I don't care if you're The Rock.
Well, he's a badass.
I there's no way he was walking.
Did you see the drugs that he popped before and then, he left the hospital?
Okay, so I accept that. Let's say I accept that.
Okay.
Then you don't drive your freaking ambulance off an overpass onto a drone, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And kick the front window or the windshield out of the thing.
And just walk out of it.
And then pick up with your cracked ribs. By the way, pick up a minigun.
Yeah.
A 75-pound minigun. You can't. There's no way.
Yeah.
There was a lot here. And that's just the ones I found. Like, Jason Statham is the badass that he always is.
Yeah.
He's a little less feeling in this one. And in like Transporter and some of his other stuff, he has emotion. In this one, he's like, just an evil moral badass.
Well, the thing is, I felt like he just played the part that he played really well because, you know, he's going after revenge for his brother, which I find, like, I thought at some point in the movie, somebody was going to turn on somebody and Jason Statham would have to be on their team for some reason.
That's Fast 8. I guarantee it. It's Fast 8.
I felt
Statham breaks out. He teams up with somebody else. That goes bad, and he ends up working with them.
Yeah,
I almost guarantee
you think it. So? Because it was like, because even though they were on opposite sides, they were both fighting for the same thing. They were fighting for their families.
Yeah.
You know?
So so those are some of the issues I have with the movie. Now, I just complained a bunch about the movie. Mm-hmm. I also don't get the car culture.
Right.
But there was a lot of posturing. A lot.
What do you mean?
I'm going to sit across from you. In an underground tunnel, this is right before they run into each other the first time.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham's character is not even a car guy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for not being a car guy, he had a lot of good cars.
Yes, he did.
So they're both like revving their engines at each other. Like, yeah. Is that part of Seriously? Something you do in that culture? Is that really something that's part of that culture?
I would say yes, it is, but not in that way. They're gonna play chicken and hit each other. Definitely when you're on the line, like race wars.
I'm fine with the on the line. Like that's you're pumping yourself up and intimidating the other person. There's
exactly.
a thing there. When you want to kill the other guy, you get out of the car and shoot him. That's how it works.
Exactly.
Or you wait to the last minute, turn, and shoot them as you go by.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with that one.
Yeah.
But this was, we're going to sit across from each other and vroom, 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 vroom. Like, you might as well whipped out your proverbial penis in that situation.
No. I definitely believe it. I felt like...
It
felt like Juan was trying to put way too much
Juan.
Action. The director. Juan.
Is it Juan? You might
it's
be right.
W-A-N. It's something Juan. I don't know his
first
name.
Oh, okay.
I just felt like this one stepped away from the mold that was the Furious series. In the way that, like, they put a ton of more military action in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for the storyline, that's what they needed to do. But I feel like, okay, most of this stuff is unbelievable. The things that you've seen in the past Furious movies, you know, the car wrecks and things like that, they did it on a scale that you knew that by laws of physics, you knew when that car rolled over, okay, it's got a roll cage in it, and it rolled over twice, the person's going to be able to walk out of that vehicle.
Well,
and this one, the stunt scenes with some of the cars that they crashed together, I was just like, I can't, like, even for this movie, I want to enjoy this, and I want it to be the Furious movies that I'd seen before, but it wasn't. I felt like I was watching a G.I. Joe Rock movie, yeah, mixed with it was an Avengers
there
movie.
Was a spy thriller theme to this.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things. First,
I guess it's not bad. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it's fine.
So, James Wan is the director.
James Wan, yeah.
First, did I miss the part where Dom is independently wealthy?
From what I figure what happened is that there was a time in one of the movies, and it may be one that you didn't see, that they were like, okay, you're free, and it felt like they were saying, you're going to be, you know, taken care of. You don't have to worry about something.
He wrecks three of his own cars.
Three of his own cars.
He takes two of them and runs them directly into the other guy.
Okay, the very first one that we saw him in is his, and the very last one that
one. But that's two cars, and these are easily $100,000 cars.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And this is assuming he just has them laying around, and I'm not trying to be a dick about that. But
no.
Like,
I totally understand where you're coming from, and that's a huge thing in the mini trucking and car scene. You know, it's like the friggin' mafia, and I am not kidding you. You know people that know people that know people that can get you these parts and that can do work
on your
car.
But even if they made the car, so you have all these friends, you're gonna wreck your car and be okay with it?
Not normally.
Okay.
But when you're in a movie.
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, you know, cars wreck sometimes.
Yeah.
But they make it plain that their car is part of their identity.
Yes.
Everyone has their own car. Like, you look at that car and having learned the character, you're like, oh, well, that belongs to Dom. That one belongs to Brian.
Yeah.
Like, there's a specific person that goes to each car. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's their personality. It's part of that culture. I get all that. But that means that you crashed part of your personality. You destroyed a little bit of yourself. And they're just like, eh. Oh, well.
I can go build a new one.
Yeah. Like, with what money?
Or, yeah.
One, with what money? And two, with what money did you go to Costa Rica? Or Dominican Republic? Whichever one they went to.
Well,
how did
I
you
don't
get
know.
There?
That place that they were staying in seemed pretty, you know, posh. So I think, like, they have friends.
Where did they get
places.
The money, which, by the way, on last-minute instructions to go to Abu Dhabi,
mm-hmm.
Where do they get the money for all these clothes? Like, those were some nice suits.
That was a military operation.
The military doesn't have that kind of money. Those were $1,000 suits.
Russell was like, whatever you guys need.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True. So... There were, like, there's so many things about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. I mean, other than the part where they met and started working for the government, and then, I mean, and that's it. Like, I was like, okay, they wouldn't be able to afford any of this stuff had it not been sponsored by this person. And I think what the storyline did is, like, well, we have to be able to get these cars and be able to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So here's how we're going to do it.
Well, and so, okay, so there's a couple of things. We'll start at the beginning of the movie, and I'll kind of touch everything.
Uh-huh.
Again, I want to reiterate, this was not a bad movie. It's a fun, explosive, turn-your-mind-off-a-little kind of movie.
Yeah.
This is not a bad movie. When we get to the end, I will tell you again that this is not a bad movie. But there were a lot of things that, me watching this critically, I went, ha.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I mean, in a lot of movies, even in some of the cartoonish kids' movies that we watch, you're really critical about, that was so, you know.
There's some stuff in Despicable Me. And I went, really? However, there are a bunch of yellow guys on the screen that they call minions in that movie. And I'm just going to accept them. So I have to accept some other stuff there.
Yeah.
In this one, it felt like it was built in a real world-ish. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but are there really that many Shadow Street drivers that do all these racings late at night? I don't think there are that many. There are a lot.
Right.
But, like, literally there are thousands upon thousands in L.A. That's just L.A.
Right, the streetcar scene.
And that's not talking about Chicago or New York, but, like, that's one place they just shove all these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's that many.
Are you talking about Race Wars?
Race Wars was part of it, but, like...
Because Race Wars, I mean, it's a literal... It was, or it still is, a literal race.
Well, they it's...
hold out in the desert.
It's freaking Gen Con for car guys.
Yeah, they come from everywhere. Yeah,
and that I get. Like, even from overseas, I would get that they would come there. But, like, there's a scene in Tokyo, which wasn't filmed in Tokyo. Did you notice that? None of the stuff they filmed in L.A., Georgia, Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Dhabi?
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado. No, Tokyo.
No Tokyo.
They film in Tokyo, and there's, like, hundreds of people just hanging out on the street in the middle of the night. Like, what world do you live in that's actual, like that number? Mm-hmm. Like, I can see 20, 30, 50 people in a city the size of Tokyo. But,
did you watch Tokyo Drift? I can't remember.
No, I just said no.
No, you have. Okay, in Tokyo Drift, like, literally, you see the culture of Tokyo, and there's thousands of people just out on the streets.
I just don't know that that's
and
the case.
Even it is, even when they filmed it, because, you know, we always watch the extras and how the production and stuff like that. Even in the filming of it, there's one scene where they're going through, they're like racing through the streets of Tokyo, and they do this sweep around through the crowd that you can't get licenses. You can't get licenses to race on Tokyo Street. That's one thing that we found out through all the back end extra stuff. And when they did this scene, of course, they had to have people set up to be protective of the people that were there. But everybody that was on the street, that is everybody that is really on the street, like the society and all of the people that were out there. And I found it truly amazing, like, how crowded and packed. It felt like it was, like, New York City on New Year's Eve. Okay. Like, Times Square on New Year's Eve.
So we start the movie, and there's, like, 8 scenes that build up all this tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, Dom and Letty are having problems because, I guess, Letty was in a wreck and forgot everything. And I'm betting that was 6 or 7. I would bet that's 7. From the feel of it, it felt still pretty new.
This is 7.
Oh, sorry. That was 5 or 6, so I'm betting it was 6.
Yes. Actually, it was at the... Yeah, I think it was...
Like the 3/4 mark of 6 is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, 6. Because what happened... I don't know. Dom got sent to prison, or I can't remember exactly what happened. But Dom wasn't there, and then something happened, and Letty... people were trying to pick off the team... And they went after Letty, and quote unquote, she got killed or got shot. But actually, she got amnesia, and she was taken. She basically got kidnapped and was turned into somebody else.
So there's all these scenes building up. I don't know how the original script is written, but they write Paul Walker's character Brian out of this movie. Like, they write him out of the next movie.
Yes.
Through this movie. Which is okay. I get that. Like, they do it well, although I could see it was forced, but that's because we know that Paul Walker passed away.
Yeah.
And we can see the movements they're making. I don't think it was badly done. In the beginning, it seemed a little forced. It seemed a little heavy. But again, I didn't see the last couple movies where we saw...
What do you mean in the beginning?
Like, in the beginning of this movie. Like, oh, well, we're going to have another kid, and, you know, like, that seemed really overly heavy, like, it didn't belong there quite right.
Oh, her announcing that she was going to have another child. Yeah, I don't know if maybe those were the scenes that were pre his death.
Yeah, well, and you can tell a couple of them that are definitely, were filmed after, because... He's holding the baby up, or the kid up in front of his face.
Yeah.
Or Especially that last scene where they drive off together.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Paul Walker.
Well,
that
yeah, was, it was
that
Cody.
Was that one was very roughly done.
His like, his brother Cody Walker is the one that took his yeah. place in the movie, and they did a behind the scenes. I watched it last night, and they did a behind the scenes on how they, you know, did Paul's like actual face overlay, and
was,
you could tell
well, it
in
was
some
Uncanny
of the
Valley
scenes.
For me. Like it pulled yeah. me way out of the movie really? And kind of killed it for me. And I get why they did it, and I think yeah. it was a fitting in. But I was like, whoa, that is not a real person. That is a fake face. Like, it was yeah. wrongly sized. It was yeah. too big for the body.
But the thing is, what I yes,
he looked kind of because... like a bobblehead, and I don't want to mean that. Be like that.
No, yes, because Cody's stature is much smaller than Paul's. But the thing is, what I think they did is. That is the same way that he turned and looked at Dom in another movie. And, like, I was trying to place, okay,
it's at the
what
end of one or
scene,
two.
What scene of which movie
it's
was...
the one where right before they go over the train tracks.
Yeah.
Racing the train. That's the one.
So, and so they basically just took his head from that movie
yeah.
and put it
at
the end of it.
So there was some heavy stuff there. The heavy stuff with Hobbs.
Han.
Hob. Rock's the Rock's character's name is Hob. With a B.
Yeah, it's Hobbs. Yeah.
Yeah, it is Hobbs. His stuff was a little heavy, like I don't know. We didn't even get to see Han. Like he was only in passing, so they clearly did
yeah.
not cast that actor for this movie.
Yeah.
There were several things that I went, it just felt like it was building so heavily. And then they get to the point where the government steps in, like, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to go after Shaw now.
Yeah.
Deckard Shaw. Not his brother, other Shaw, whose name I don't know. The other Shaw.
I don't remember.
But we're going to go after yeah. Deckard Shaw. But we're going to bring the government's going to help us, and that's going to be all involved there.
Mm-hmm.
So then it turned, and then it became, honestly, it felt like a story lead up, like the intro to a video game, and everything from that point forward felt like, here's the next boss, this is your mission, and you were just playing through a video game. It was
really?
Very surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so some of that stuff was bothersome. The wreck was really, really bothersome. The fact that
Which
Jason,
one?
the head-on collision, the first one. The two
yeah.
cars. The fact that Jason Statham's character always knew where they were at makes no sense. There's no way
yeah.
he could have known they were in. They were gonna go take down that super secret transport.
Yeah.
There's no way they would have known that he would have known that they were in Abu Dhabi.
Right.
No one's intel is that good when the only people that know is a super secret organization within the military government that the military government doesn't know about.
Yeah.
He had, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There is, if someone on the secret military group had mm-hmm. turned, mm-hmm. I'd have been like, oh, okay.
So that explains it.
But nobody turned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, part of me was waiting for Kurt Russell's character to turn.
I totally felt
because
that was going to happen.
If he had turned, I'd have been like, oh. Okay,
oh.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe they were leading up to that, but there is no explanation for Deckard Shaw's ability to know everything other than, well, he's British and he was Special Forces, so he's really good. Like,
yeah.
Not to say anything.
It felt like a little Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I'm not questioning the British military whatsoever.
Yeah.
No one is that freaking good. Like,
yeah.
no one can go, oh, I'm going to lick my finger,
is,
stick in the air. They're that way.
That way, yeah.
No.
The thing is, at the beginning of the movie, you know, they tell that he was disavowed.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm using a Mission Impossible term,
yeah.
but, you know.
I don't know what kind of bus you make, but why in God's name would you make a bus with machine guns? Two.
Oh, the bus is totally believable
the
for me.
The side machine guns? No, I'm out. Like, the back ones? Sure, but,
mm-hmm.
like, two, military transport? If that's like a super secret paramilitary group, which is what we're led to believe, they have
mm-hmm.
helicopters. Why aren't they in a freaking helicopter?
I don't know. Because I have no idea.
Like, there's, like, the fact that they have to be on the ground doesn't make a lot of sense to me there.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 1,000
other
ways.
Because if they were
in
the air, they wouldn't have had a movie.
Yeah, I get that. the wreck where he rolls down the the mountain, there's no way he survived that. Because even in a 5-point harness, you're still bouncing around. This is the same thing with
it's
Indiana
shaken
Jones.
Shaken child syndrome.
Well, this is the same thing with Indiana Jones in a lead-lined fridge. Fine. The lead protected him from all the radiation. I'll buy that. You know what the lead didn't protect him from? Bouncing down the hill.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Oh, it's got a roll cage. That's fine. But he rolled a lot. He didn't roll a little. And he had no helmet, which means his head did bounce off something.
Yeah.
He would have been dead.
Yeah.
Now, she might not have been, but she might have been knocked out. And she was. That's great. But she's wearing the helmet. She gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. No helmet for him. He's fine. He did wear a seatbelt there, though. Five-point harness. Also, if you have cars that you're going to take on against a military transport, all of them should have bulletproof glass, for the record. If you and I ever do this, all of them have bulletproof glass.
Which one didn't?
None of them did. They have bullet-resistant glass, but except for the Jeep one. The Jeep one was fully bulletproof.
Yeah.
The rest of them were bullet-resistant.
Okay.
I don't care how slow they go. Like, I understand you have to go fast, but it doesn't matter at that point. Like, there's no... I hate parkour and fighting. Just parkour and fighting and making people look cool because they can parkour. It doesn't make for a better action movie for me. The fact that the guy could jump over things when he could have just easily gone around or gone through, like...
Yeah, I don't think he could have gone around that fence.
Not the fence, but the hanging shirts... And the boxes. He could have gone through that. I don't care what's in those boxes. He didn't have to parkour over the shirt rack.
Yeah.
And then that. If a military helicopter flies over L.A., the American military...
shot down in 2 seconds.
The American military scrambles way faster than 35 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me... I don't want to live in that world because the American military is useless.
Yeah.
Also, Kurt Russell shows up with all of his special forces guys. Mm-hmm. Super secret special forces.
Mm-hmm.
They can't shoot Deckard Shaw that first scene. Like, they're the worst shots ever. They drop down from above and they're just shooting the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of people are these? And then Kurt Russell pulls out two pistols later in the movie and just pow, 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 pow. Like, just shooting people. One shot dead. One shot dead. Mm-hmm. One shot dead. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then he would have gotten out of the car the first time and just shot the guy.
Yeah.
This did feel like a G.I. Joe, almost, I would almost sling this in the, if Nick Fury were white, like he was originally in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Russell was Nick Fury in this. And I could almost buy that, but that makes this movie a little more comic booky than I want in this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds stupid, but I want some reality in this particular kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you go ahead and pick it apart now, because I've done a lot.
You want to believe in the franchise, and I do. I really, like, I'm going to own it. It's part of the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. Paul Walker's near and dear to my heart, so... But this felt like a very forced, furious movie. It felt like not like an original story that you would usually see in the Furious, the Furious universe.
Some of that might have come because Paul Walker passed away. Like, maybe they had something else planned, and he passed away, so they had to change things.
Yeah.
I can forgive some of it because of that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, from the beginning, some of the lines seemed like...
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Like, some of the lines just seemed not indicative of what the movies are usually like. I don't know, and the thing is, you talk about the death of a really, really close friend and family member. Maybe that's just what it was, and I want to forgive them for that. But I felt like, and maybe it's because I'm older and I just you know.
I think we've broken you into a critical role, too. I think we forced you into looking at things a little more critically than you used to.
And like 10, 15 minutes into the movie, I realized a little bit of that. And I'm like, you know what? I want to sit here and enjoy this for a Fast and the Furious movie. Mm-hmm. I want to enjoy it for that. But the thing is, that's not what you got. You got a, you know, in the beginning, there was the race. In the beginning scenes, there was a race war.
Yeah, that thing with Letty felt genuine.
Yeah, like that whole, all that environment and all those scenes, it just felt like, yeah, this is it. And then it felt like they took all these people that you loved and just stuffed them into a place that they weren't comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that very well was it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not military people. They're street racers in freaking LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So as far as the movies goes and the actors, I mean, it was great. Some of the script felt very forced. Mm-hmm. The scenes, you know, you have to have that suspension of disbelief, you know. Dom in this movie is a badass superhero that can survive anything.
Yeah.
You know?
So, looking back, there were a couple other things. That you mentioned some of the script, especially at the beginning, was a little rough. There were nothing but quips and one-liners in that first chunk.
Yeah.
There were some very important personal moments, and those were great between Dom and Letty, and then a couple other places. But everything else was like quip, one-liner. Like, oh, what's he trying to do? Convert me to an Asian car or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And I was like... Okay, like, some of the more impactful scenes, like that were intense, like, everybody in the movie theater got intense over the bus going over the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
We'd already seen that. I knew he was going to survive. It was in every freaking trailer they put out.
Yeah.
And I went, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't care. And that's why I don't like trailers. I was kind of disappointed. We saw Age of Ultron today, the trailer for that, because I didn't want to see that. I don't want to see any more trailers.
Close your eyes.
Because I still would have heard it. There was nothing I could do. Did you not hear me go, ugh?
Yeah, when it came on? I didn't. And the thing is, I think... Oh, excuse me. I think the true diehard Furious fans expected a scene for where Paul died. Like, that's what we were expecting. I was like, okay, it's going to be this. Okay, he's going to get shot. It's going to be this.
The thing is, I was kind of expecting it, but at the same time, how much respect do you give the actor, and is that the way you want to remove him? They gave him the chance to retire from the team at the end, and we'll get into that a little more. I think they were more respectful this way than killing him off. And I know that sounds weird, but I really feel like they didn't want him to go that way, and they made it very clear that nobody else was going to die, which then sets up the irony of someone dying, but it set a tone that you can expect through the movie that no one else will die because they can't. It just doesn't work that way anymore. Yeah. Jason Statham, Deckard Shaw, is a little like, okay, you crippled my brother. That's no good. So I'm going to kill every one of you? Like, that's like 12 people there. It's not like 12, it's like 8.
Yeah.
But still, like, you're going to kill 8 people over crippling your brother? That is a level of revenge that that special services people, they don't have that kind of emotion put into their operations. Because they know they get sloppy when they do that. He never got sloppy. Did you notice that he not once got sloppy? The only reason he lost was not because Dom was better, because Dom was not better. Dom was worse. Dom was not as good of a fighter as Deckard Shaw.
Right.
He was a little dirtier at some points, but he was not.
Because he's not a trained fighter.
Right. The only reason Deckard Shaw lost is because he got the parking garage they got shot on was shot with missiles.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the
that
only
was
reason.
Seriously cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, I was like. Please, no. Just don't tell me that just happened.
I just feel like...
It doesn't... I mean...
I feel like the scene would have been better if the rest of the team would have shown up. If anyone else on the team would have shown up, it was because they're a family that defeated him.
Mm-hmm.
It would have felt, to me, truer to the feel. Even though they're not killers. Line. And they talk Dom out of killing him. Because that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he killed somebody. We can't be him.
Right.
Like, I would be 100% behind that. If Brian runs up and says, you know, Dom, you've killed before. We can't do it again. Like, okay. Sure, that's fine. But this was not that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So those two things. There was another thing. Man, oh. When driving out of a high-rise building and into another high-rise building, the percentage chance of you not landing well is very high.
Okay.
Hitting between floors, mm-hmm. catching your wheel between floors, just the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Or the top of the car. Mm-hmm. Like that.
The reason why I feel like that was such an amazingly computer-generated scene is because it may be possible. Like, I don't know the physics of a situation like that at all. I don't know anything about, you know, velocity and how they're going to get across to the other building, or anything like that.
I'm saying they...
So I was just like, that was a genuine edge of my seat moment.
Well, and the physics say you can do it. However, the chances of you not of you hitting another floor or not landing correctly is pretty high. You only have an 8-foot clearance, give or take, between floors on big buildings. Number two, they got shot with a grenade. They came out of the first building, got hit by a grenade.
Yeah.
That means you're not going to land. Like, that back half of your car is pretty much screwed. Even if it didn't hit the car, mm-hmm. the grenade would still shred a tire.
Yeah.
Which means you don't keep going.
Yeah.
And then to go from another one building to the second building to a third building after crashing through a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
No, I...
Yeah, I wish they would have taken... I wish Juan would have taken a look a little closer at the physics of the whole movie and most of the scenes, because it's just like, okay, it doesn't matter how good, you know, like you said, how good of a roll cage you put in the car, or, you know, like you said, the grenade went off at the back of the car. You're going to have to... You should alter things to fit the actual physics of the...
Yeah. So, there's all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's kind of wrap it up, because we've been going a little bit long, or a little long on the complaints. I try and stay positive. But, like, there's a lot of good stuff about the movie. Like, the explosions and all that stuff, the gunplay, the fighting. It's all well choreographed. All of it.
Yeah.
It's all very well choreographed.
The thing is, it's not an amazing movie. It's a really good movie. It's a really good, if you know the franchise, it's a really good movie to go watch to wrap up that part and say goodbye to Paul. And, you know, the characters are still there. They're going to go on in 8.
Yeah.
So, I just hope that they don't carry the... You know, governmental. I hope it goes back to what it was in 6.
Yeah, and the
or not even 6, because they did that plane thing and that didn't kind of match them. So 5.
They did give Paul a good send off.
Yeah.
I felt really good about that. I know you teared up quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think they did good by him, and I really think that was great, but. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
I really didn't, like, it was very, very emotional to the part, you know, where Letty was trying to wake Dom back up and things like that. And, like, you're just like, you know, when is it going to happen? And it didn't ever happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he stands up and he's like, no, I'm not saying goodbye. And you're like, oh, they're gonna do it like this. And it just felt, like, I don't know, it felt peaceful, it felt right.
Yeah. So overall, I enjoyed the movie well enough. Honestly, if I was going to say anything else, it would be, it may not, if this is not, you're not a Fast and the Furious fan and you're not a fan of this kind of movie, I wouldn't go.
Which is a shoot 'em up movie.
I would say a shoot 'em up movie or a very car, culture heavy movie.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not something you're really, really into, then I would skip it. If you're okay with some spy stuff, because there was some spy stuff, and the spy stuff was handled well, like, I'm okay with that.
I felt like it was a mishmash of the Ryan, was Ryan Reynolds in G.I. Joe?
No.
Who, the Damon Wayans, and, or one of the Wayans brothers, and who was the other guy?
Channing Tatum.
Okay. The Channing Tatum, I feel like it was a mashup of that G.I. Joe, Mission, a little bit Mission Impossible, and I can't remember the other one now.
Okay.
But it felt like a mash of all of those together.
Okay. I would say, out of five, what do you think?
If I was basing it on, you know, everything that we've seen and all the things that I've learned over the past few years, I would say it would probably be like a 1.52. But because I'm a Furious fan and I love the franchise and the characters, I would give it a 3.54.
3.5?
To 4.
Oh, to 4. I would say this is an average movie. I think there are some questionable script choices and there's some forcing. But given the background of the movie, I'm willing to accept a little bit of that. If you take this out of the Fast and Furious franchise, the spy stuff doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But given that it is in the Fast and the Furious franchise, that does bother me a little bit. So if this were not a Fast and the Furious movie, I'd go 3. Since this is a Fast and the Furious movie, it goes to a 2.5 for me. Because it knocks off the theme of the last 6 movies to tell something that just feels like a video game in the end.
Right.
Now, it looked like a fun video game. I would play that video game. But, come to think of it, it has a Call of Duty feel to it. So especially, like, some of the Black Ops stuff you go through, the storylines there, where you have to do everything just right to survive, and it's highly unlikely. So, it's not bad. The acting's good. The script is not great some places. But the acting, I think, really does make up for a lot of that.
Yeah,
so,
the actors are very on point in this movie. Yeah. I just think that
know their characters. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the emotional state and the rewrite that probably had to be done.
Yeah.
You know,
there's also a very little depth to Romeo or...
Rome.
Rome or...
It's Romeo Rome.
Rome. Okay, so either Rome or... The tech guy. What's the tech guy's name?
Ludacris.
No.
Oh, Chaz. His name is
Chaz.
Chaz.
Yeah. They don't have any depth. They have no depth whatsoever.
The reason why I don't feel like they have very much depth is, like, you only see them in one other movie.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, they're not carried through the whole franchise. You only see them in one or two other movies.
Okay.
Like, you know the movie that you were talking about with the Oriental girl where it starts off with a race? That's the one Ludacris is in.
Yeah, he's the...
And then he's in the last one.
Okay. I just,
the
like...
The previous one.
They felt very two-dimensional as characters.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more depth in Vin Diesel and Paul Walker's characters and their interactions with Letty... And Mia, Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
So the those four kind of had a lot of depth, so the other characters didn't need it, and they became very much supporting kind of sideline characters. And that's okay.
Yeah.
They did their things, and they did them well, and they were funny, and it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I would say maybe go see it. It's not the worst thing. I don't feel like we wasted our money.
I feel like if you like shoot 'em up, you liked G.I. Joe, you liked... Kurt Russell, you like The Rock, you like Cars, or any of the franchise, any of that kind of genre or across the board, definitely go see it.
Yep.
It's worth it.
All right, well, that will do us tonight for the Nerds Domain Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and subscribe to our podcast. That helps a ton to get us recognized and kind of get our name out there so that we get more people to subscribe and give us 5-star ratings. It's kind of like the mob. You have to know a guy to know a guy. So you can also go over to our website and sign up for our newsletter. Definitely do that. That's where we give out all the information we can about all the things we're doing. We're going to have some exciting news about HoosierCon coming up in a couple of weeks. And then we're doing Indie PopCon.
Yeah.
And then Gen Con, we've got some really great stuff.
Back-to-back-to-back stuff going on.
We've got great stuff at Gen Con, and then Starbase Indie is going to be great. And that's kind of through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can always find our shirts over at /loot.com. Just look for Nerds Domain under the podcast. And we will talk to you guys real soon.